Today, the Kierland Golf Resort in Scottsdale, Arizona.
This is Golf Smarter. Each week, you'll get inside information on how to lower your scores through strategy and course management. We'll ask course pros, designers, and architects to reveal their secrets in an effort to improve your game. If you're a beginner or a seasoned pro, subscribe to the Golf Smarter podcast. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for joining us for the Golf Smarter podcast. Today we're going down to the desert to the Kierland Golf Club at the Weston Kierland Resort and Spa. And our guest today is the head golf professional for the Kierland Golf Club, Ryan Eckrout. Welcome, Ryan.
Thanks, Fred. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. So, give me an overview of your golf course.
Yeah, Kierland Golf Club is a great course to play no matter what your skill level is. You know, a lot of people think that when they go to a resort like ours, you know, they're going to play a resort course that's just, you know, pretty basic and not really that much fun, and that couldn't be any further from the truth.
Why?
With ours. We have 27 holes that we can offer. We have three different nines are acacia, ironwood, and mesquite. And each one is relatively similar in design, so you don't have to worry about, you know, only playing two of them and missing out possibly on a third that, you know, might have something that you didn't get to see. But all three are very, very fair and very playable in that there is some mounding and things on the sides of the fairways on a few holes. Where if you stray a little bit from time to time, like I know you do, Fred, it'll mount back in. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, someone gave me a little heads up on your game there. But it'll you know, kind of bounce it back into the fairway for you. But, you know, for a skilled professional like myself, or at least what I think I am, it still can be challenging in that you still have to hit good shots. You still got to play around the greens very well, and you still got to place the ball where it needs to be put.
And what are the names of the three different nine-hole courses?
They are Acacia, Ironwood, and Mesquite, all named after trees and plants that can be found here in the desert.
So you're trying to get people to play a couple rounds when they come to play.
We'd love to. If they're here on a five-day vacation, we'd love for them to play all 5 days.
Oh, of course you would.
Absolutely.
So one day you'll play Acacia and Ironwood, and the next day you'll play Mesquite and Ironwood, and then the next time you're going to play Acacia and Mesquite.
Correct. Each morning we determine what our rotation is for that day, and then based on where their tee time is booked on our tee sheet, we'll let them know
how often
two nines are going to be playing.
Sorry for interrupting. How often do people just go, oh, I want to play all 27 today?
You know, it happens from time to time, and whenever that does come up, we try to accommodate as best as we can, but we're very fortunate that we're a very popular and very busy facility. So, you know, sometimes when we get asked, you know, can we play a third nine, it's generally whatever nine we can get them on. It may not be the nine that they didn't get to play today, but a lot of times it can be.
Ryan, you know that I'm coming to town soon.
Yes, they do, and I'm trying to build up some more fences for you.
That's for my friends, of course, not for me.
Yeah, of course, of course.
So tell me the difficulties of your course.
The difficulties come in that we have over 100 bunkers on all three nines.
Yeah.
Well, not on each nine, but through the three nines, we have over 100 bunkers.
Well, you're in the desert. You're surrounded by a bunker, right?
Essentially. It's more of an oasis, Fred. But there are plenty of bunkers here between fairways and greens and everything. So you definitely want to bring a good bunker game with you. Or at least, you know, what I'd like to do, the best way to improve your bunker play is just to stay out of them entirely.
Right.
But, you know, there are a few different types of bunkers in that we have a traditional, you know, kind of a fluffier sand bunker. Then we also have some transition bunkers that play a little bit harder, you know, condition and everything. Have a few more rocks in them and stuff like that. It kind of gives a different feel to it.
And what about the amenities of your golf club?
We have anything and everything that you could possibly need as it relates to golf. From obviously the golf course and having a great experience there and being able to play a very well-conditioned golf course.
And that's because it's a Troon golf course, correct?
Exactly. We're managed by Troon Golf, and our superintendent has basically made a deal with us that we will always have the best conditions in the valley, bar none.
Awesome.
That you can't play a golf course anywhere else here in the valley and find a better conditioned golf course. And also with Troon Golf, we also provide some of the best service that you can ever find anywhere. Our motto or our ideal for you is that when you're here, you're a member for a day. So anything and everything that you want, we're going to be able to do for you. You got, and trust me, Fred, especially with your game, you've got enough problems worrying about where the ball is going to go. You don't need to worry about where your clubs are, where to check in, or, you know, how to find the first tee or anything like that. We're going to take you through everything and make it as relaxed and enjoyable an experience for you as we can.
Ryan, You better lighten up.
Well, you know, Lon told me quite a bit about your game. So.
We're not going to talk about Lon.
Oh, okay. We won't talk about Lon. But, no, I mean, we try to make, you know, golf is fun. Golf is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be a leisure activity. And there are a lot of places where, you know, you may not kind of have that theme and kind of have that feel. And, yeah, you can go play golf and it can be enjoyable and everything, but, it may not be that memorable. And we want people to remember that they played here. We want people to remember that our staff is all about being fun and about having fun.
Well, what makes golf even more fun is local knowledge, and hopefully we're going to get that from you in a couple minutes when we talk about the shot strategy for a number of holes. And we might do it a little bit differently today. Since you have 3 9-hole courses, maybe we'll touch on a couple holes from each of the nine.
That's fine. You know, some of the other amenities that we have here, that we can
Please.
Offer at Carolyn, we also have a professional club fitting, and we can customize your set for you. We have, all the launch monitors that we need so that we can measure, ball speed, spin rates, launch angles and stuff like that. We can do all of that right here on site. And then you can order custom-built clubs from any of the major manufacturers through us, whether it be Titleist, Callaway, Mizuno, Cleveland, whatever, our team decides is going to be the best club for you. We can get you the absolute perfect club for you. In addition to that, we also have world-class golf instruction with Mike and Sandy LeBove here on site, and their, years and years of experience. And the other golf professional staff that we have here, we can, anything that you need as it relates to golf, whether it be to play, get some clubs, or learn how to play, we can do.
Mike and Sandy LeBove, the husband and wife team?
Yes. They've been top 50, top 100 instructors for many years now. I've been here at our golf course for just over 10 years since we opened.
Interesting. Reviewing your website, you guys have a lot of innovative programs that you do there.
We do. And
share some of them with us.
Well, one of the most innovative one that we have, and we are, to the best of my knowledge, the only golf course in the United States that have them, are segways.
Get out.
Yes. We have four segways on property, and what they are, which I'm not sure how much of them you've seen or not there, Fred, but it's a two-wheeled device that kind of looks like a stand-up scooter.
People mover thing.
Exactly. It's a people mover.
I've always wanted to ride a Segway.
Well, I tell you, when you come down, we can get you set up on one. They're a lot of fun. They're extremely easy to use. Thousands of little gyroscopes and everything underneath your feet that basically detect where your balance is, and then you use your balance to make it go forwards or backwards.
With the golf clubs on the Segway?
Absolutely. Doesn't adversely affect it at all. In fact,
really?
I took my my big staff bag that weighs about 60, 70 pounds, put it on there one day and went and played 9 holes, and it didn't bother it at all.
Awesome. Oh, I'm so excited because, like I said, I've always wanted to ride a Segway. And the thing that drives me crazy about golf cart golf is that, as you've been mentioning, we spray the balls to different sides of the fairway, and when you're in a golf cart, it slows down the pace of play because you got to go to his ball, then you got to go to his ball.
It can, and we found that one thing that this will definitely help pace of play, and that if two people are playing together and one hits it to the right side, the other hits it to the left side, they can each go to their separate balls there, and not have to worry about driving the car from one side to the other, because very few people will ever. Kind of think of it like, okay, well, you're over there and I'm over here. Let's park in the middle.
No.
Walk to our shots and go hit and then come back and meet in the cart.
Well, that's going to slow down the pace of play even more when you walk, because what you do is you park in the middle of the fairway and then you walk over to your ball and you check out your yardage and you walk back to the golf cart. And
Fred, why don't you take like 3 or 4 clubs with you?
Oh.
Oh.
You've been around for a while, haven't you, Ryan?
I've been around for a little while, yeah.
I never thought of that one. Okay. it just hurts my back to carry so much. Okay, so, I am really excited about just the idea of taking two Segways, going down the fairway, and then just splitting off like a synchronized Segway team.
Yeah. It's so much fun because it's, one of the joys of playing golf, and especially if you play golf as a junior, is, being outdoors, walking with your friends and everything and kind of having fun. And, then we get in the golf carts and they're fun too. But when you walk, it's a little bit more of a kind of a natural golf experience. And being on a Segway is just like that, except faster, and you don't have to walk. So you can kind of get that feeling of being, you know, out in like a walking type environment, but not actually having to walk. So it's a lot of fun. It's kind of like riding a motorcycle sometimes.
Tell me about do you have GPS systems on these?
We do not.
Okay, so
no GPS systems. Our course sets up very favorably in that you can see where you need to hit your ball. On every shot that you're going to hit, you can see where you need to hit it.
Okay.
So we don't rely a lot on GPS. We give you yardage books. They
Good.
Give you a kind of a course layout and a map for each hole, but we don't really need a GPS system.
And what about on the course? Is it marked with distance?
Absolutely. All of our sprinkler heads are all laser to the middle of the green.
Uh-huh.
And we do have directional poles in the 150 and 250 yard ranges on par fours and fives in the middle of the fairway, so you can kind of tell where the shape of the hole is going and kind of line your tee shot up like that. And then we also have yardage plates at 100, 150, and 200 along the cart path. So we do everything that we can to get you the information that you need to be able to hit your shot.
Okay. Tell me about the practice area that you have before I go out and start my round.
We do have a great practice area. We actually have two 80-foot canopies over the practice area so that when you're here in the summertime, you can practice and warm up in the shade and not be out in the sun for more than you may need to be. And it's very helpful in the summertime when, you know, it does hit that 110 to 112 degree mark. You can be underneath a canopy and it feels so much cooler. It just drops it at least 10 to 15 degrees instantly just by being in the shade.
So now you're 99.
Exactly. But you know, as the locals will tell you, there is
it's
a big
dry
difference
heat.
Between 90 degrees and 115 degrees.
Yeah, it's dry heat.
Yeah, I'll save my opinions for the dry heat comments.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
So hot is hot to me.
Yeah.
Dry heat, all that means is it's kind of like an oven.
It's hot.
Exactly. It's still hot. But, you know, and it's definitely bearable. You know, I've been here for a few years now, and in the summer times, all you got to do is just drink a lot of water and, you know, try to seek out shade as much as you can. But if you're drinking a lot of water, wear your sunscreen, and you'll be okay.
Okay. Tell me about your the practice putting greens.
We have two practice greens, one for chipping, one for putting. Great size, a lot of different holes and shapes and everything on them. But plenty of areas to practice your chipping and pitching and putting and everything. So, and then you know the practice range we have, it's a you know adequate size. You have enough targets and everything out there that you can hit some shots at while you're warming up and start to get a feel for the golf course.
Is the speed of the practice putting green reliable to what the greens are like on the course?
Absolutely. Wouldn't think twice of doing it any other way. You know, unless we're having to be doing some type of maintenance or something on one of our putting greens, you can always bet that our practice greens are going to be the same as the greens out on the course.
Great. Well, and you can trust with Troon Golf, you just know the agronomics are just going to be top-notch from start to finish.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As we said earlier, our goal is basically to provide you with the best experience that you could ever get anywhere else in that region, if not anywhere. You know, so when you play Carolyn and when you play either our course or some of the other Troon courses that are here in the Valley, it's going to be the best golf experience that you can find here, not just in the Valley, but, you know, hopefully in Arizona, if not the rest of the Southwest.
All right. If I wanted to make a tee time, the best way to do it would be online or give you guys a call. How would you recommend?
Call. You know, we, as I said, we're all about service, so we really enjoy being able to speak with you over the phone to book that tee time. We do have.
You're not going to give. You're going to not going to give callers as much grief as you've been giving me, I hope.
Well, it depends. If they say they know you, Fred, we're probably going to give them a lot of grief.
No. If they're listeners to this show, you want that information. Say that you heard
true.
It on Golf Smarter.
That's true.
And ask for Ryan and give him grief for me.
They'll probably thank me, Fred. But no, we have a reservation staff that's always available 24 hours a day. It's 480-922-9283. We can book your tee times up to 30 days in advance if you're not staying here at the resort. If you are staying at the resort, you can book up to 60 days in advance.
And can you book online too?
You can book online. You're welcome to do that. You can go through our website at www.kierlingolf.com. But again, as I said, you know, we enjoy being able to interact with all of our guests one-on-one and as personably as possible. So over the phone is what we'd prefer. That way we can, if there's anything that you need to customize your tee time, you know, any special requests, whether it be rentals or anything like that, we can accommodate you with that over the phone.
So when you go to KierlandGolf.com, which I'm trying to do right now, and that's KierlandGolf.com. Why don't we go ahead and play some holes here? Let's pick. We usually do six holes, three in the front, three in the back, but because we have the three separate courses, why don't we do two from each?
Okay.
We'd love to get your local knowledge on this. Why don't we pick the Acacia course first?
Okay.
And which hole would you like to give us some local knowledge on? Where do you want to start?
I tell you what, we'll start on Acacia 6. It's probably one of the more difficult par 3s that we have out here on the golf course. It goes anywhere from 122 yards all the way up to 190 yards, depending on which tees you're playing. Or where.
How many tee boxes do you offer?
We offer 4 tee boxes per hole. So there are enough tee boxes, or there's a tee box that every single player can use. Whether you're a skilled professional, an amateur, mid-level, or brand new to the game, there is a tee box that you can use.
Okay, wise guy, which one should I be playing from?
Oh.
Gotcha.
I'll be nice to you, Fred. I'll say you can play the golds.
Oh, no, we're going to play whites. Come on.
All right. Well, our the colors that we use are jade, copper, gold, and black.
Oh.
The black we recommend for skilled amateurs and professionals only.
I'm not playing black.
And most of our play will either use the gold or the copper. So I think if you're if you're a 10 to 15, you're probably going to have more fun being up at the copper.
Yeah, okay. All right, so but all right, so
remember, golf's about fun, right?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
It's more fun to win money than to lose money, right?
No, I hate playing golf for money. There's too many things I'm competing with, and to start thinking about money too makes me crazy. Do you think I get money for this podcast? Are you kidding? This is because I'm a student and I want to learn stuff.
All right.
So let's forget about money and tell me how to play this hole.
Acacia,
what's my target?
Depends on where the flag is at. The most difficult placement for the pin on this hole is when it's up on the back shelf on the right-hand side. A bunker that's on the right side of the green really comes into play a lot more. And it's a very, very difficult area of the green to land the ball on and hold it, especially if you're playing from all the way back. If the pin is back there, the best play is to hit something a little bit lower and kind of land it in the middle of the green and try to roll it up there. You got a much better chance of actually keeping the ball up on that shelf if you do it like that. If the pin's on the left-hand side, you definitely want to play for that side as there is a little bit of crowning that goes through the middle of the green. And if you're on the right-hand side, it'll tend to roll a little bit more to the right from the middle of the green. So the only thing that you really want to avoid other than that bunker is coming up short, because as you can see, there's a very large wash area that you need to carry over. So you want to make sure that you pick enough club that you can land it at least onto the front of the green. If you land it short, there's a good chance that the ball might roll back into the wash.
See, I'm glad I asked. This is really really useful information.
Fred, if you're curious, the bailout area for you is over there on the left-hand side of the green.
Lighten up, dude. Okay.
You told me to have fun with this.
Yes, and I'm glad that you are. I didn't know it was going to be at my expense. It's like this is a reality TV show.
Hey, you think I'm going to make fun of myself?
Okay, good. Hey, Lon. All right, what hole do you want to do on Acacia?
At that point, we'll move over to Acacia 9, probably the most visible and the most popular hole that we have. It finishes right into the backdrop of the resort.
It's a par 5?
Long par 5, plays downhill. Probably drops in elevation somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 feet or so. Your target off the tee is playing right down the left center portion of the fairway. There's a statue out there in the pond. It's called Imagine. Just aim your tee shot right at that. Just swing away as hard as you can. If you're going to air, you want to air it just a little bit to the left, as there is some mounting on that side that will help the ball bounce back into the middle. You really don't want to air too much to the right, as there is some bush and gorse area down to the right-hand side that will gobble your tee shot up, and it won't spit it back out. Okay. So after you successfully complete your tee shot and get that sucker down there, you probably have anywhere between 240 to 200 yards left, depending on, again, which tees you're hitting from and how well you hit your tee shot. It's a very, very reachable par 5. I definitely want to aim for the right-hand portion of the green and let the slope and everything on the ground kind of roll the ball back in. If that pin is back left, just forget it. Just don't even try to hit a shot from 200 yards or so and land it back there, unless you're hitting a 7-iron from 200 yards and can hit it that high and carry it that far. If the pin's up front, it's definitely a go-for pin. Just hit it as I said, right there at the left-hand side of the green and let the ball roll back into the middle of the green.
You said hit it as far as you can when you were talking about the tee shot, and this program's called Golf Smarter for a reason. This is all about course management skills and stuff. You don't really want to hit the ball as hard as you can, because I know when I swing that hard, I either hurt myself or I don't hit it well.
There's a difference between swinging hard and swinging fast. And, you know, a lot of people, when they want to hit the ball far, they think they got to hit it hard, and that usually means that their muscles tense up, and they make kind of a choppy swing, and it's actually a slower swing, and you can hit it off center of the face and probably with an open or closed club face. That's not really what you want to do. When you want to hit it as far as you can, you want to make as free and as fast as a swing as you can. And the only way to do that is to have a relaxed swing. You know, your hands and arms and everything need to be relaxed. You can't be real tense. And you got to be thinking swing fast through the ball. If you're thinking, I'm going to hit the ball as hard as I can, it probably won't go very far, and I promise you it won't go very straight. But at least if you're swinging fast through the ball, you got a better chance of hitting it straight and hitting it further.
Oh, that's a great tip. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's awesome. Let's take a short break now, and we'll come back and we'll do two holes from Ironwood and two holes from Mesquite.
As we make the turn, we want you to know that we're taking requests. If you'd like us to feature a specific course on Golf Smarter, our email address is golfsmarter@ttour.com. That's Golf Smarter, one word, at TEETOUR.com. Whether you're planning a golf vacation, playing in an upcoming tournament, or have a favorite course for which you have a question, please let us know and we'll do a show just for you. Again, here's your host for Golf Smarter, Fred Green.
All right, we're back with Ryan Eckroat, the head golf professional at the Kierlin Golf Club, the Westin Kierlin Resort and Spa in Scottsdale, Arizona. They've got 3 9-hole courses we've been talking about. We're on the second 9-hole course, Ironwood. We're going to pick two. You know, I was looking at the scorecard there for Acacia, and I found it really interesting. You didn't pick the highest handicap holes here. You're not necessarily agreeing with that, or you just think that they're more difficult or more interesting to play?
Well, I think Acacia 9 is a very interesting hole to play, and obviously it's a very picturesque hole,
mm-hmm.
and being that, you know, that's definitely one hole where if you had a tip or two on how to play that hole well, you can at least remember the most memorable hole and remember it well, and not necessarily, you know, goof up one of the coolest looking holes you're going to get to play.
Right, and we're talking about local knowledge and acquiring yours. So let's move on to Ironwood.
Ironwood. The other most difficult par 3 that we have out here is Ironwood number 5. It's a par 3 that stretches anywhere from 87 yards for the JTs and all the way back to 200 yards for the professional tees there. And it is a very, very difficult green to hit and to hold when the pin is on the front right. And that being the front right of the green does slope very, very sharply towards you. And there is a collection area to the front right of the green and all the way around the right edge of the green that a lot of tee shots will roll off to if they're landing off center from the green. So when the pin's front right, the best place to hit your tee shot is obviously behind it, even though, you know, the old adage is never be above the hole. If you try to hit it below the hole on this hole, your ball will not stay on the green. So you want to try to hit it behind it a little bit and over to the left, and that'll give you the most straight and downhill putt, and basically have the easiest putt that you can have for a birdie there. If the pin's in the middle or towards the back, the hole plays a lot easier. Try to hit a shot that's going to land in the middle of the green and then release back to the back portion if it is in the back. The ball will roll from right to left once it's on the green, once it's the middle portion there. There is a little ridge that towards about a third of the way through the green. Once the ball gets over that ridge, it'll start to roll downhill and to the left again.
Interesting.
Club selection is very important. You definitely want to pay attention to the wind and making sure that you're going to hit a shot that's going to at least get you to the green. If you come up short, you're going to, even if you're kind of bouncing it onto the front portion of the green, most likely it's going to roll off. As there is, I wouldn't call it a false front, but there is a lot of slope on the front of that green. Left is dead. The bunkers over there are very deep, and the green will be running away from you, so you really want to try to avoid those bunkers at all costs. If you're going to miss the green, which I do a lot on this hole, miss it to the right. It gives you the easiest chip that you can have.
How much of wind comes into play on these courses?
Really depends on the time of the year. You know, a lot of days we'll have, you know, very, very calm days where there won't be much wind at all. And other times of the year, you know, in the summer times and spring, it can get very, very warm and very windy, and you can have winds upwards of 20 to 30 miles an hour.
And which way does it come from?
In this area, it actually will come from all directions. On this hole, the most common wind that I've seen is when it's coming out of the south, which for this hole means it'll be into your face, making the hole a little bit more difficult.
And you should definitely add a club or two?
Absolutely.
Interesting. All right, where do you want to go next?
We're going to stay on Ironwood. We're going to go to Ironwood 9, the finishing hole for this 9.
Mm-hmm.
Nice par 5.
Mm-hmm.
Water all the way down the right-hand side comes into play on every single shot that you're going to hit. Off the tee, definitely want to aim to the left and keep your ball on the left-hand side of the fairway so that you can avoid the creek that's running down the right-hand side. It's a very reachable par 5. So a well-struck tee shot should leave you no more than 250 yards. I've seen a lot of people who hit the ball very, very far, and they can have as little as 160, 170 yards left on this one. So it's definitely a birdieable hole, but you want to keep yourself in it by staying on the left side of the fairway so that you're not taking penalty shots right off the tee. For your second shot, in going for the green, you want to make sure that you're staying to the left side of the green, regardless of where the pin's at. As you'll see, that water comes into play all the way around the right-hand side of the green and towards the back portion of it a little bit. So if the pin's on the right, just aim for the middle to the left portion of the green.
You really think you should go for it in two, huh?
Absolutely. Why not?
Because it's a par 5.
495 yards at most, a relatively flat par 5. Fred, I know you can get there in two. No, you can't.
I feel like you'd be looking over my shoulder that day. I'm going to be so freaked out.
There might be a few cameras out, you know, out on property watching you. But, you know, this of all the par fives that you can play on our golf course, I would say that this is probably the most birdieable par five that you can have, and probably the easiest par five that you can play and get there in two.
Okay.
Playing up on this hole, you know, if you needed to because of an errant tee shot or something like that, you have two choices depending on what kind of lie you have after your tee shot. If it's a very bad lie, you want to try to lay up short of the bunkers that come across, or that cut across the fairway, meaning that you want to leave yourself at a minimum of 130 yards. If you try to hit it to like that 100-yard range, most likely you're going to end up in a bunker. If you have a relatively decent lie that you can hit it a little bit further, but it just doesn't warrant going for the green in two, then you want to try to aim for the yardage range of about 80 to 60 yards. That way you can make sure to get over those bunkers that cut across the fairway.
Good advice. Okay. Now, up on the green, are most of the greens about the same size? Do you have a lot of undulation on your greens? Tell me about your greens.
We have a decent amount of undulation. You know, it's not anything, you know, where you might be feeling like you've got some elephants buried underneath them. But there's enough undulation on there that you can have some good breaking putts. All of our greens are very straightforward. You know, whatever you see them doing, that's what they're going to do. Not a lot of, you know, subtle breaks where it's kind of hard to read them. They're very, very straightforward. But, you know, the conditions of the greens that we have, they're, you know, always in good shape, good speed. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention to the green and pay attention to where the runoffs are so that you're getting the right line and the right speed.
Great. I just want to remind the Golf Smarter listeners that are listening to the program on their computer that you can go to Google Earth and look down the fairway of each hole that he's talking about here, because we're interactive with Google Earth, and to get more information about the Google Earth interaction with Golf Smarter, go to ttour.com and click on the link there. You can download a PDF that gives you all the instructions on how to operate the program and download the information. And then again, as he's giving instruction, you can be listening through your speakers on your computer and watching through Google Earth, looking right down the fairway and seeing exactly what he's talking about. It's a very cool feature.
Cool.
Yeah, really cool. Thanks.
I haven't tried that yet. I'm going to have to.
Yeah. JR, one of our listeners, came up with that, and it's awesome. Okay, let's move in. You got the last 9 holes here, the Mesquite course.
Going over to Mesquite.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pick another par 5 on Mesquite that I think is a hole that, if played well, you can at least pick up another stroke or two on. But if you don't play it well and you don't play it smartly, then you're going to end up losing strokes, and nobody likes to lose strokes on a par five.
Right. And that would
hole
be...
Hole number five.
Number five.
It's a par five that stretches anywhere between 405 and 521 yards, depending on the tee box.
Now, do you... It looks like you have one tee box that you're combining here, because there's no... on the website, there's no yardages.
Oh, okay. You know, I'll have to look at that, but yeah, no, we do have four separate teeing areas.
Hmm. Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
That's okay. It's a slight dogleg to the right on this par five, and the key here is there's a lot of mounting down the right-hand side that you want to use. It might look like the mounting and everything might encourage you to hit more towards the middle or the left-hand side of the fairway, but if you do that and you strike your tee shot very well, you're going to run out of fairway, and you're going to end up in a wash that runs the entire length of the left-hand side of the fairway and then cuts across you again in the front of the green. So you want to make sure that you're aiming to the center right-hand portion of the fairway. You can even hit it halfway up the mounds there on the right-hand side and kind of bounce it off those, and it'll bring it back down into the fairway. You know, the mounds that we have out here on our golf course are there for your use, and I advise that you use them because on a lot of holes, if you hit them in the right way, they're going to help you. And this hole is definitely a good example of that. This par five, it can be reached in two for the longer hitter. You know, after a good tee shot, you can have anything from 250 to 230 yards in, if not a little bit less. But you want to make sure that on your second shot, if you're going to go for it, that you can actually fly it all the way to the green. The wash that cuts across to the front of the green cuts very close to the front of the green, and there's not a lot of area to land a ball short and then bounce it up onto the green. The green is actually elevated a little bit from the wash, there again making it harder to land a ball short and bouncing it straight up onto the green. Most likely, if you try to land it short, it kicks sideways and probably to the right, which is where the wash continues to go, and then you end up in it. Fortunately, it's a dry wash and it can be played out of, but because it's a wash, you can't really predict what kind of lie you're going to have, and it might be a little bit more difficult than it looks.
But let's check the ego and golf smarter.
Exactly, exactly. If you're going to lay up, which is not a bad idea to do on this hole, you want to lay up down the right-hand side of the fairway. Again, use the mounds if you'd like to. But you don't want to try to lay up too far down the left-hand side, as that wash will continue to come into play. Pay attention to what kind of or where the pin location is on the screen. If it's in the back, try to hit it a little bit further down the fairway. If it's a little bit more towards the front of the green, lay up a little bit longer back so you can have the best yardage or the yardage that suits your short game the best. And then leave yourself a good wedge or whatever club you want to hit into the green. And be confident and just hit that shot. If that pin is in the back, it will be up on top of a ledge, and you want to make note of that so that you're not hitting a short iron that's going to land short of the ledge and it might not roll all the way up.
One more. What do you want to do?
We'll do the finishing hole on number nine.
You like these closing holes on this course, don't you?
Well, hey, you want to end well, don't you?
Always. Always.
Because well,
it makes you go, I want to do more.
Exactly.
Hey, who designed these courses?
A gentleman by the name of Steve Miller. He's a local architect, and he's done some other courses here in the Valley area. Our course opened up in 1996, and we've had very little reconstruction or redesign since then. So he got it done right the first time.
Great, great. Okay, let's go ahead to number nine on Mesquite.
Number nine, Mesquite.
What's our target?
It's a very simple and very very easy looking par four to finish on. Not a lot going on the tee shot, other than the tree area that is on the left-hand side of the fairway in the left rough. It sits about 170 yards from the center of the green. You want to make sure to avoid that, stay to the right-hand side of that. So hit it as far down the fairway as you can. Just make sure to stay to the right of the trees. At that point, where this hole starts to become difficult is on your second shot, and that it's a relatively shallow green. From front to back, it's only 27 paces, so it's a relatively shallow green. And there's a lot of bunkers on the front of the green and around to the right-hand side, which means you need to bring in your approach shot very, very high and make sure that you have the right yardage so that you can land it on the green and keep it on the green there. It's a very wide green. So pay attention to what side of the green that the pin is going to be on and aim for the fatter side of that pin. So if the pin's on the left, is there some slope on the left-hand side of the green, try to hit it to the right of the pin. Pin's on the right, hit it to the left of the pin. it depends in the middle. Just aim for the flag and hope it goes in.
Always hope it goes in.
Absolutely. But if you do that, the hole should play relatively easy for you, and you'll have a good round.
Great. And this is the number one handicap hole on this nine, right?
I believe that it might be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And if you finish up...
Not ever getting any handicap strokes anymore, Fred. I kind of stopped paying attention to that.
Ooh, snap.
Well, nobody ever gives me any. You know, all of a sudden you strap a title like head golf professional on you, and they're like, yeah. Oh, well, he's a good player. He doesn't get any strokes anymore.
Yeah, that's true. I guess you play for money.
I usually hand out a little bit of money every once in a while, yeah.
Occasionally.
Occasionally.
And you probably accept some, too. Oh, no, no, I can't do that. This is my job.
No, I'd be happy to accept your cash.
Hey, Ryan, before I come down there, what shot should I be practicing so that I have it in my bag when I need it on your golf property?
You know, be able to pitch the ball well. You know, and the difference between a pitch and a chip, obviously a chip is something that's going to fly a little lower, not fly as long, and it's going to roll out a lot more. There's not a lot of areas around our greens where that shot is going to be necessary. We do have a lot of the green complexes that we have are elevated somewhat, and the fall-off areas, you know, are low enough below the green surface that you're going to want to pitch the ball, be it with, you know, an actual pitching wedge or a sand wedge or a lob wedge. You don't really need the flop shot, you know, as much, but you need to be able to pitch the ball fairly well. So using a gap wedge or a pitching wedge, sand wedge, and, you know, all your shorter wedges, be able to hit that shot where it's going to not fly really high, but, you know, kind of medium height, then it's something that'll roll as far as it flies.
Hmm. All touch.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ryan, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Fred. It was a pleasure.
You've been very helpful. Your insight and your local knowledge is probably going to help. Well, probably not, but help everybody else, not necessarily me.
I'm sure that that your listeners are good listeners, Fred.
That's right. Not like my children. Thanks again, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Fred.
And now it's time again for our monthly contest. It's your chance to win a free membership to SAGA, the Society for Authentic Golf Architecture. And if you listened to our show back on May 2nd with Bill Treadway, you were introduced to SAGA, and Bill generously offered two free SAGA memberships to the Golf Smarter listeners. And with the membership, you're going to get a one-year membership to SAGA. You'll get a reserve spot on the SAGA Golf Clinic held on June 17th at Poppy Hills. And my favorite part, a copy of the book by Robert Trent Jones Jr. called Golf by Design. And that is really a fun book if you're into the idea of golf strategy. You'll also get an NCGA membership if you're not a member already and access to the National Golf Foundation database. So at the end of May, we will have a random drawing from our entrants and announce the winners, two winners. And to enter this contest, please send us an email with the subject SAGA, S-A-G-A, and include your name and where you're from, because I'm really curious to know where you're writing from, and I usually create a dialogue with you, and just because I'm curious to know how you heard about Golf Smarter, and I appreciate the fact that you spend the time sending us an email. I really do. So send it to golfsmarter@ttour.com. Golf Smarter, of course, one word, at TEETOUR.com. Thanks again for listening, and once again, I hope we were able to give you some valuable information to teach you that it's about the local knowledge, it's about having fun on the golf course and with the person you're doing an interview with. It's just going to improve your round if you just golf smarter. Thanks for listening. I'm Fred Green.